Now we're going to talk about yang energy. Now that is a Chinese medicine term, but it loosely is the energy of metabolism, and that loosely is the thyroid function. And that loosely means that if you've got lack of energy, nothing's going to work particularly well in your body. So if we're looking at yang energy, it's not male energy. It's everything in the universe that we know about has got an up and a down, an in and an out, a light and a dark, and all of that, okay? So I'm talking about qi, which is loosely energy, but it's not really. So I'm going to do three instead of two for that. Okay, so we're talking about yang, which is when I'm drawing the lines, it's on the left-hand side and yin's on the right. Now, that means that anything that's got more vibration, including a thought, it's more etheric. It's less solid. It'll be on the left-hand side, which is the yang, as opposed to the on the right I've got, which is more tangible. Structure, solid, etc. So you probably get the idea. Okay, so when we're talking about energy in the body, you actually need yang energy to run it. I'm going to do yin first to get that one out of the way. Yin energy is about moisture. It's also about nurturing and also nourishment. It's also about cooling. It's also about rest and regeneration. So if you think of when you get into menopause or you're inflicted upon you menopause, you're going to have hot flushes. And it's not because you're too hot, it's because actually your yang energy is not good enough and it balances all over the shop. And so people mistakenly cool you down when in actual fact it's wasted by, the yin is wasted by heat. So if you've got heat because of inflammation, radiation, anger, aggression, sugar, all of that, that inflammatory process is going on because of that. And of course the doctors say, let's give you some anti-inflammatories, to which I say, I can't believe how stupid that is, because that's more need of your body for more water to flush it out, more magnesium, more glutathione to clear it out, okay? So if you've got inflammation, you're going to have everything too hot, too red, too coloured. You know, if you've got any discharges, including you know, your bleeding, it's too much heat in there. So that heat is creating the bleeding for a lot of people. It's creating the feeling too hot, and you want to put cold in it to calm it down, but then that's going to stuff up the other side of the page. So when you've got inflammation, it could be caused by dryness, which is me talking about the climate, and the dryness generally is a lack of water, and nobody's drinking enough water, pure water, not cold water, because it feels better going in cold, because that's going to wreck everything else up, but it needs to be pure water, and it needs to have qi in it as opposed to dead water. Okay, so when we're filtering, putting stones in or putting it out in the sun or doing something, having rain collected straight from the sky if we've got clear air, which is another issue, as opposed to it being whatever else we can do with it. So that's all I'm going to say on inflammation at the moment, but it is there because you've got a lack of yin. And so here's me going, everything needs to move. We need to be able to breathe up. We need to be able to move it around. Our lymph is going to be needing to move the rubbish out, because it's the rubbish system, and the good going in. So that's it. That's it as far as the... is yours on? That's it as far as the yin for the time being. We're actually wanting to talk about yang, and we're doing this because our yang energy is what allows us to be on the planet. So if we're looking at the functions of yin, we've got it moistens, it nourishes, it cools, and it allows rest and relaxation. The functions of yang, on the other hand, it allows circulation, which you could call transportation, of everything from one place to the other. So you've got to have movement just like that. Then it also allows digestion. But more than that, it's also transformation. So anything in the body goes from one state to another, it needs yang energy to do it. So that could be food, it could be poo, it doesn't matter. It could be a thought even, really. It's transforming something from one to the other. So that's one, that's two. The next one is protecting. Loosely, that's your immune system, but your immune system is mostly in your gut, so we're back up here again into digestion. But it's also the pores of skin and letting the cold in or not. And there's me going, what is that man, whatever his name is, thinking about? This isn't going to help the average person because it's going to waste their yang energy. And if they're really depleted, it'll kill them just like that.
Hoff.
Yeah, Hoff. And it's the same. He's a man, obviously. He's not a woman. A woman would not be doing this unless she's really thin and really dried out and really in-depleted. And she's got all that heat going on and she's doing the male thing. She's not in a female body. She's trying to run it like a male's body. It's not going to end well. Next one we've got is holds in place. Now that is organs, tissues, blood, babies, you know, whether they're falling out or not. Skin falling down as you get older. Everything has to be held in place by a yang energy. And the last one is warming. If we're cold, we've got a lack of yang energy, just like that. If everybody else is fine and we're not, we've got lack of yang energy. Okay, so that briefly covers the functions of the yang energy in the body. So from a medical point of view, because they're only ever looking at a physical body, they go right over to the right-hand side of the gut page and they waffle on about a thyroid. And then they don't do anything about it. But beyond that, you've got your adrenals, which actually feed into the thyroid. And if you don't have enough energy, they go, oh, maybe you need iron. And that's about as far as they get. Now, I'm really not quite sure what they think they're up to, and I'll deal with that in a minute. When we're looking at lack of yang energy, we're looking at variously all of them breaking down, and I've got quite a lot that I've written on that in diagrams, so you can see all the different things that mesh up. So loosely in the body, if we're going to look at circulation and digestion as the most important, which they're not, but I'm going to deal with them. When I'm talking about circulation all the time, the first thing I'm going to try everybody to try and get them to do is to breathe better, and then that's those movements across the front of the chest, you know, to get the lymph to start moving. And then you're going to want to drink more water, because all of a sudden I've got movement happening and the body actually needs more water to allow that to happen, because everybody's deficient in the water and they don't want to drink for whatever reason. But so I think I'm drinking about 4 litres a day at the moment.
Wow, that's good.
Well, I do that, and I'm noticing that because I'm up here and I'm seeing how many bottles of water I'm going through, so I can see what I'm drinking. But I think I've drunk at least 2.5 litres before I've got here today. But I'm usually up by 5, and I'm not eating anything. I'm just drinking, and I think personally that's what everybody should be doing. When they think they're hungry, they're actually thirsty. When they want something sweet, it's actually water that they need. And I think that these messages have gotten lost. So going back to circulation, we know we've got blood, and I've talked about we've got qi, we've got blood, which is red and blue, and we've got lymph, and we've got the nerves. Okay, so when we're looking at circulation, it's not going to go down too well if we're not breathing well. Because we've got a diaphragm and it's got to be massaging our liver, which is, we can't live without our liver. And so that then is going to help the peristalsis and the gut go round and round. So that's when I say you've got to do the round and rounds with the coconut oil really gently. And then the next one on from that is doing a small round and round, because that's going to influence all of the area up here, which is called an interstitium. And I'm at the moment between my ribs and my navel, and particularly off to the left, that's where 28% of I'm having an interesting moment here. This has only just been discovered in 2014 by those who do cutting up bodies, because of course it's not flowing any longer and there's no fluid there, and that's where an awful lot of your lymph is. It's sitting in there, and we've got this interstitium. No, it's not your spleen, it's your interstitium. Yeah. So what we also need to do very quickly is then get the margins of the belly, which is me doing the lymphatic drainage, but on the back you need to have And you can do it on yourself. I've worked out if you lean backwards and you pinch it and you give it a, like I do on pull. Sacrums, and pull and you yank it side to side. In some parts of it, it really hurts.
Is that fascia? Like
yes, it is. The whole thing is fascia.
Yeah.
And so I know just right there, it always hurts on me. So I'm going down my spine at the moment. Now, that all should be loose. So if we get the circulation, which is the chi, coming up through your governor vessel if you're an acupuncturist, but if we get that moving... Well, then, because structure determines function, the nerve supply that comes from that area that's stuck at the moment then is going to be freed up and it's going to actually help the circulation at the front. So if we want to sort the front out, we've got to sort the back out first. Right. So going back to circulation, it's not only qi and it's not only blood and it's not only lymph. You've actually got the nerve supply and that's going to be stuck because, you know, going over to the extreme physical, it's in the wrong position and it needs moving. And beyond that, the circulation of air, and we've got feng shui. So I talk about inner feng shui and outer feng shui. The outer feng shui, the Chinese have done a darn good job on with getting everything flowing. And there we go back to my word, declutter. So we want to declutter the body. It's got stuff packed in all sorts of places because we've been too busy ignoring the message, which is, excuse me, that's not supposed to be there. I'll hurt a bit. I'll hurt a bit more. I'll hurt a lot more. Oh, good. Give me a painkiller. Now you can't notice it. And you keep on overusing it or doing the wrong thing. And it's now causing damage and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so this is where most people eventually come and see somebody like me. They've been overriding their body warning for a very long time. Okay, so when we're looking back at circulation, that's transporting everything around. Well, it can only do that with fluid. And where do we get that from? That's our yin energy. So our yin energy, going back over to the other side of the page, is blood and body fluids. We also call it yin qi, which is what I've just done, okay? And so to do that, we need water, but we have to be able to process it. And to process it, we have to have warmth, because what messes around with yang more than anything else is cold. Okay, so just as heat damages the yin, wasted by heat, by cold. So everybody's plastering cold on everything that hurts, so then they don't feel it. Well, hello, big problem. You can't feel it, so your body's message has been overridden, and so the message that it's trying to get through to you is, warning, there's a problem! It's been shut down, and you would not do that. If you have a red light in the car's dashboard, you'd go and sort out what the car was telling you. And it's a warning system. Now, the pain is a warning system. We've overridden it. And so when we're looking at the circulation, once it's moving, you don't have any pain. That's too that's too simple, isn't it? If everything's moving, it's got no reason to tell you help, because it doesn't need any help.
Agree.
Right, so that's circulation. Now we're going to look at digestion. Well, in order to digest an idea, we have to be decluttered so that it isn't so full that we can't hear it. So this is our yin and our yang of something again. So this is more on the yang side because we're not talking about something physical, but it's the same thing. If you want to digest something, it has to be digestible. So if you try and put a whole block of cheese in your mouth, you have to actually break it down. I mean, you can't do it, can you? I mean, as a little kid, they might try. It's not going to work. And then there we go back to our chewing. We've got to actually turn it into something that our body can use. Yes, that's the raw ingredient, but it needs to be processed. And the processing, yeah, you could just chuck it down, but it would be a good idea if it got digestion starts in the mouth. And here we go back to chewing. And once we've done the chewing and it goes into our gut, now that's when I go, aha, I've got lovely pictures of the middle heater, which is, we've done the upper heater, but at the moment, that's our breathing, okay? So now we're back down to our middle heater, and there's the little fire in the gut, and it's got to send the pure stuff up and the relatively impure stuff down. And eventually it will pop out the other end as pee and poo. And in the meantime, the purer stuff is always going to be utilised and the less pure is always going to go down. Now that's only going to work if our ability to assimilate is there. And assimilation is the function of the small intestine. Now that's the pure from the impure. It's also from the good from the bad. It's also from the truth from the lies, if you like. Now, that's the small intestine. And Reich, Wilhelm Reich, discovered that when we have a tiny little breakthrough, which is Reichian therapy, almost no touch on a muscle. And if you've got, and you're breathing at the same time, and you've got a stethoscope in your mouth, in your ears, you'll hear, goggle, 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 goggle. And that's me. When I'm working with anybody, being very happy when I've got peristalsis because it's been shut down. Now, of course, you're not going to poo because you're on morphine because you've got pain or whatever, but you're not going to poo because you've got low thyroid function. Mm. Of course, you've got the cancer because you've got low thyroid function, because you've got low body temperature. Cancer lives in low body temperature around in circles. So if you don't understand health, you can't help it when you get really sick. There aren't answers found in surgery and drugs and radiation. That's anti-life measures and vaccination. You've got to be pro-life. To be pro-life, you have to understand what yin and yang do. So at the moment, in talking about the assimilation and Reiki and therapy, if all of a sudden you do these breathing exercises and you start doing the massage and you get gurgle, gurgle, that's great. And that's why I tend not to be teaching people to do this with their out-breath, because in the out-breath, they're more likely to let go. And I don't want an emotional catharsis. So I teach everybody the moves first, which is on the right-hand side, and I don't necessarily talk about the left-hand side, because I'm explaining it now. If you're doing Reiki and therapy and you've got the stethoscope in the ear, because you've got the person being done to and the person doing it to them, and they've got this incredibly light touch and they've got the stethoscope, and the person who's doing the touching can hear the noises in the belly because they're not always audible. And if they're breathing out at the same time, then they may let emotion go. So there was me in my first year acupuncture, and I went to a Reiki workshop. I wasn't allowed to be part of it, but of course they charged me the same amount, but I could observe, but I couldn't be part of it because I was holding a baby that was, I don't know, 3 or 4 months old or something. Maybe a bit older, but whatever. I was, you know, he was a baby in arms and I was breastfeeding, and so that's why I was here with him. And somebody was having this done, and next minute he's yelling and screaming, and they quickly put up a foam mattress, and he's beating the foam mattress for all he's worth. He, guard your heart, at three, his mother tried to kill him, and she didn't, and he's doing the fighting that was locked into his body that he couldn't at that time. The body remembers everything that has ever happened to it, and it is stuck there, which is the key point in my self-soothing course, which is you don't know what's stored in your body. You're going to start very gently. You're going to do very subtle stuff, and you're going to drink lots, and you're going to set yourself up so you're safe before you do it. And you alert everybody to, this is probably going to be fine, but should something happen that might look like blah, 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 don't get too concerned, yeah, because this is actually what you're releasing stuff that actually shouldn't have been there to start with. And so it's being held in your gut, and in our gut is where we feel stuff, except we are holding it tight. And so it's not going to be able to work, and so then we're going to run into these problems. So we're doing this because I want to talk about the temperature of what's going in the gut. Okay. Now we're going to answer the question, but what if I feel like eating cold, raw food? So I take us back to the yin energy, which has been wasted by far too much sugar, far little good fluids, far too many processed foods, chemicals, toxins, maybe really, really highly spiced foods, and we need actually more fluid in to have what's in the body less concentrated. It might be too much salt, it might be too much anything. There's too much of, if you like, a good thing, like a little bit of all these tastes is a wonderful idea. However, if we're going to put a lot of sugar in, which is the alcohol, which is the grains, which is anything that converts to sugar, including all of the fruit that everybody thinks they need to eat, that is actually heating for the body. Mm-hmm. And so when you've got a state of yourself medicating because you're so incredibly furious, and you're putting in whatever it is, be it alcohol, cigarettes, I don't know, chocolate, sugar, whatever it is, drugs of any description, including the prescription drugs, you actually need more, not less, water, and you haven't got it. And you haven't got it because you don't want it. You want to go to sugar, you want to go to food, you want to go to the drugs, you want to go to the coffee, you want to go to the whatever you're doing, the alcohol, but you're not doing what your body needs in order to be able to run itself. And so that means you're going to want cold, and you've got what I call false heat. It's not really heat. It's a complete imbalance in the body. And if you were thinking of a pie graph, and you might have in a state of balance, you've got both of them, yin and yang, like that. But if you've got so we've got yang on the left and yin on the right, yang on the left and yin on the right,
and we've got what should be normal, going across the page like that. And if we make the yin blue, so we definitely know what we're doing here. We've got relatively too much heat, but it's actually not more heat than we need in this body. We've got not enough yin to balance it up, so we're going to look like we've got hot symptoms, see? Whereas if we, so this is false fire here. Oh dear. So this is balance, the first one's balance. The next one is false heat. And this one is going to be true heat, the next one. I'm going to let you put the lid on this one. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do false cold, mm-hmm, and true cold. Of course, it can get a lot worse than what I'm doing. So there you go. What's that one? And so now I've got, sorry about everybody listening, I've got to construct what we're looking at first. So we might have a yang normal, but we've got a yin normal. But we've got a yang way too much. So that's true heat. Now, of course, we could have different levels of yin and it would get worse and worse and worse. Our false cold is we've got not enough yang and the right amount of yin. And our true cold is we've got the right amount of yang and way too much cold in the body, or yang. It's going to present differently. And if it's looking a little complicated, it is. It's an acupuncture thing, but it's explaining when you've got true heat. So your yin's normal, or some aspect of, but you've whacked a whole lot more heat in. Usually that what you're doing is you're wasting the yin at the same time, so the yin's going to be less and less and less and less. And we've got our false cold. Our yin's okay, but we've completely wasted our yang energy. Or we're in the middle of a bloody snowstorm with nothing on. Well, we're not going to last too long because the cold wastes the yang. And the yang is the circulation, digestion, keeping you warm, protection, and holding everything in place. Well, it's just not. So the question that we're asked, so don't worry about it too much. It's just in case somebody's listening and they want to know more. We've got the more there, okay? So that's our diagrams. So what the question we're asking is, why not cold raw food? Okay? You know, we're all different. As in the objections coming from the ego, but I like it like this. Well, my belief system holds me to whatever. And I used to be a raw macrobiotic. We were vegan macrobiotic, so that was actually a dichotomy. It's a bit difficult that way, because everything macrobiotic actually is you know, the seaweed and the various grains and whatnot. They actually do need cooking. Mm. And the vegan would tend to go to more raw, except, so we were doing both together, which is a bit interesting. Anyway, so why we're not eating the cold raw food is we've got that little pot inside our gut. And so I've got diagrams, which I'll put on this page. And if we're going to do a diagram of what the body looks like, there's the diaphragm. Mm-hmm. And I've done the two lungs there, and there's the heart, right? Now there's the liver, there's the gallbladder, there's the stomach, there's the spleen, there's the pancreas. And there's the stomach there. And then we've got an awful lot of intestines all wound in. And somewhere in there we've got a bladder and a uterus. Mm. Okay, so in Chinese medicine we call this the upper, middle and lower heta. So that's, I'm doing a diversion so you understand what I was talking about before. So we've got the diaphragm is a pretty obvious separation. So we've got the upper heta there and we've got our middle heta in the middle, and around about here we've got a navel, and so around about here we'll just say, okay, that's the lower. Okay, now the lower is really important. It's not a dire state of anything, but when we're looking at, for example, somebody feeling nauseous, well, this is the way to look at it, because you can see it so much clearer than any other way. It's not about, it's about what's going to happen in the organs. Okay, so we've got, I'm doing it in orange. Oh, whoops, the, yeah, right, let's just start again. I'm being a bit too freeform. This is Picasso working here at the moment. I know what I'm doing. We're trying to do the lungs the same size. There's the heart. We've got the diaphragm. The liver goes right across there. There's the gallbladder. There's the stomach. There's the spleen and pancreas. Okay, so, and then we've got the intestines, and we've got like that, and we've got the bladder. Okay, so we're doing this. So now we've got a bit of a problem in the body, because what should be going on is food should be going in through the stomach and should be passing down. And all along the way, the pure comes up, because we're talking about energy at the same time. And the impure goes down. It was pure relative to where it is, but that's the entire progression of making the blood and body fluids and chi in the body. So if you're feeling...
Pure goes down?
No, pure always goes up.
Oh, yeah.
And the impure always goes down, relatively speaking. So if we've got, oh, my God, I'm going to feel sick, I'm being sick, so nausea is maybe, is stomach energy is going up instead of down, and vomiting is, it's happening. So the physical comes along for the ride. Okay, so the energy of the stomach's not happy at all, and it's thinking about you're going to be sick. So what should be going on in this body is you should have the stomach chi and everything going down. The products of pure distillation go up, but everything that's physical is actually on its way out. And that's what peristalsis is doing, is it's helping it along the way, and that's our circulation, which is the yang energy that's making it happen.
And when we're talking about...
The pure energy is always going up. Yeah. And so that is, well, how do we make the meridian energy that flows through the body? Well, it's energy, and it's going up. The five tastes are going up to nourish the aspects of the organs. Like, this is outside of what we're talking about here. I'm saying, look, that's roughly what goes on in a body, not physical. Now, I know what the physical organs do, but having a talk about the physical on the right-hand side instead of the energy on the left is where we got into the mess with Western medicine. We actually have to understand where are the instructions coming from. And the instructions for a body to work are in the chi, if your drive is working properly, which is your shen, which is what we had to sort out for you first. You've got to have clarity. To get clarity, you have to have more water to clear out the rubbish. You've got to have the zeolites of the NCD in order to start clearing out what is sitting there, getting in the way of the magnesium and the iodine and zinc and selenium and all of that from functioning. So putting food in the mouth is one aspect, but you've got to do something with it. And here's me talking about the process of digestion. So I've gone to, look, you're feeling nausea. You're feeling nausea because the stomach energy is not handling things too well and thinks it might go up. So for the purposes of this exercise, I'm going through nausea. So people get nauseous because stomach too full. Stomach too cold, whoops, stomach full of raw, having the same effect, or you might have liver chi, which is you being really pissed off, going over and invading it. You might be full of poo. And there's two, you see, like, you're overriding the downward thing. It can't do it. That's why everybody feels so much better. Mm-hmm. You've also got stomach too corrupted. You've put something in that's damaging, and your body's going, that's not staying put. It's not going to be part of me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And out it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've got morning sickness, it could very well be that you're full of baby, and your body hasn't worked out that instead of the baby nest filling and emptying and filling and emptying, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the chi hasn't worked out its ways yet.
Mm.
So you get to understand how, when the gut's not happy and why that's not happy, you could talk about what the organs are up to, but they've been given instructions, and they don't like the instructions. And they can't function with what you're doing because it's too cold, there's too much of it, there's not enough of it, whatever. Or you're too full of poo, the poo should have gone already, not circulating again. The baby nest is full and the body wasn't well when it started, so it's now got issues.
Mm-hmm.
And a major issue for that, of course, is she's full of cold. And how come? Because she's been, oh, whatever. You know, like, where are the ingredients? The circulation's not working and all of that. So this is still not really answering the question for you, but it sort of is. You can see where I'm going with this, can't you? You could say, yes, but I don't want this. And I go, yeah, I get that. But that's which part talking again. And thus, when we're talking about the different times of the year, we're not going to feel like having a salad in the middle of winter. We're just not. We're going to go towards the soup and the broths and the casseroles and all the sorts of things that people normally, comfort food. And then we get to a point where we want something different. And the something different we want, hopefully, is not sweet. And so I'd like everybody to be aware that if it's sweet that we feel like, it's our body out of balance, and that's me talking about the tastes. So I'm briefly going to talk about tastes, and we've got five elements in Chinese medicine. The five elements in Chinese medicine, you grab it. Great, thank you, are on my red poster that I hand out to some people, which I'll put on this page. And what we're looking at is, if we're looking at times of a day or times of a year or times of a life, we're going to have the same energy, which in Chinese terms is starting on the position of, if you like, 10 o'clock on a clock and 12 o'clock on a clock going around is fire. Then we've got earth, then we've got metal, and then we've got wood. Okay, they are words that might not mean a lot to others, but then we've got a feeding cycle and it all goes around clockwise. Mm-hmm. Right, so having it all around clockwise means that if I'm going to talk about it in the times of a year, we've got spring is the wood, summer is the fire, late summer is the earth, autumn is the metal, and winter is the wood.
Okay, two woods.
Ooh, that should be, thank you very much, that should be water.
Uh-huh.
Starts with a W, isn't it? Right.
So we've got water at...
We have water at about 7 or 8 o'clock. Okay, so we've got that going on. So that's winter. Now, there's things that are appropriate at those times of year, but before we do that, I'll talk about in a day. So we've got dawn, noon up the top, afternoon, evening, and dead of night. And at different times of the day,
mm-hmm.
we could be doing different things if we were sensible, because our body has got a body clock and it's used to doing those things. And then we could look at that in the times of a life, and we've got, you know, newborn or fetus, and then we're going to child and adolescent, early adult, middle age and elderly, however we want to span that out. So we've got that going on whether we like it or not. And we have foods that nourish each of these, and we have tastes that mm-hmm. nourish each of these. And I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to do this as far as food is concerned, but I'll give it a go because I haven't done this for ages. This is what...
Can one research the Chinese?
Oh, gosh, yes, I'll put it on this page. I mean, I go home and I do all of this, but I'm saying at this moment, don't take it as gospel in case I'm wrong. But if we're looking at flesh, for example, and this is not fish, it's animals. Where am I? Yes, we will have a stop in the thing. Chicken is what nourishes the metal element. Pork is what nourishes the water element. Mm-hmm. Good work, Heather. I'm running out of, can't think.
What?
No. I wonder if that's fish. You know, like I haven't done this for ages and I'm just having a think.
Fish for the earth?
I'm not sure that it is. I think that's, because it's a watery thing. I'm just not sure what on earth we're putting in there. And I think lamb is the hottest, and I can't actually remember. As I said, I really can't remember. So we'll put beef up at the fire and lamb there in the wood. And I, at the moment, have no remembrance of what goes in there. Now, I'm saying this because when vegetarians think they're going to eat, they, for some reason or other, think that it's going to be a balanced life if they eat chicken or poultry. We actually probably should put poultry in there, just on the off chance that it is going to. I just can't remember. What that one is, it's not a balanced life, because we need, you know, we need, and particularly so if we're looking at tastes. So when I'm looking at tastes, I've got that one. We've got sweet or neutral in the middle, and we've got salty down there where we've got the water, and we've got pungent, which is all your curries and chilies and whatnot, in the metal, and we've got sour where the wood is, and we've got bitter up there at the top. Now, if we don't have a balance of them, we are also in trouble. We are in trouble because one feeds the other. We're in trouble because one controls or makes sure it's in balance the other. So we've got our usual cycle circles going around with arrows clockwise, but we've got another one, which is the sour taste overcomes the sweet. So if you've got far too much sugar going on, you've got a sweet tooth and you can't get rid of it, well, the answer is quite simple: salt and fat. But the other thing is, get a lemon and squeeze it in your mouth. The sweet taste overcomes the salty taste. The salty taste overcomes the bitter taste. The bitter taste overcomes the pungent taste, and the pungent taste overcomes the sour. So you don't need to worry about that. Like me with the top, with the extras of yin and yang, if it's over your head, really don't worry about it. The point to take away is, if you think just by eating lamb to the exclusion of anything else, it's a really, really, really hot food, actually. The vibration of it's really hot. If you're going to be eating chicken and that's the only flesh that you're eating, well, you're actually imbalancing your body. You need actually to be aware that I didn't make this up. This is something from a very long time ago. Ayurvedic is going to do it differently. This is the five concordances that we teach in first year acupuncture, and I haven't done it for ages. So that was just a little bit of an aside, and I'll put the real ones on when I do this page up. Okay, so when we're looking at the Ayurvedic system, they've got three, that they divide everything up into three. This is not going to work here. When we're looking at the Greeks, they divided everything up into humours and they had a four number. The Mayans have four. I've been an acupuncturist for too long and this really works, and I'm going with that because that's my what would you call it, my way of doing it. So when we go back to why are we not eating cold, because it's not going to be balanced. And it's the same as when we're looking at those five elements again. So I'm going to take out my lovely chalk whiteboard marker again, and I'm going to put the different, I was talking about climates before. So we've got cold, where we're looking at the kidney energy. This is energy, it's not renal function. We've got wind, where we've got the liver energy. We're going around and we've started at number 7 or 8 on the clock. And then we've got heat, where we're looking at the heart. And when we go around to where we're about at 2 o'clock, we've got damp, where we've got the spleen pancreas. Do not ever feed it sweet. It's going to want more and more and more. You're in deep trouble then. And we've got supposedly dry, where we've got the lungs. Mm. Now, we've also got phlegm, which is a worst case of damp. Mm. And we've also got fire, which can come from a number of things. But it's usually a worst case of heat. But it can be a worst case of dampness because we've got composting happening. It could be when things get too outrageous with wind, it's everything's too dynamic and that might bring that along. Dry, we're going to end up with fire as well. And when you're looking at yin and yang and the yin and yang thingy, we've got a spark of one and the other. If we're going to complete breakdown, we're going to go to fire at the end of the cold. And a person goes out with a spark, you know, they're about to die and then they come right for a tick and then they're gone. Sometimes, if somebody's doing a death wash, watch the person's there for a minute and then off they go. That's the last little bit. So, any questions? So if we're going to keep on eating fruit and everybody keeps on saying, oh, but it's natural, I'm going to go, no, it's not. Fruit used to be in season and then out of season. Most of us listening to this have probably got white skin. And thus we came from originally the Northern Hemisphere in temperate climates. And food was very, very sour and pungent. Not pungent. It was very, very tart. Yeah, fruit was very tart until, you know, like the berries. If you look at gooseberries and whatnot, you know, they're very, pucker up your lips. Until they started genetically modifying. But already people were doing this thing called, let us breed everything the way our taste buds want. if we were going back to what a strawberry used to look like, it was a tiny little insignificant little thing, really, really, really wee. It didn't have fish genes in it like they do now. I mean, when people think they're vegetarian, I go, I don't think you understand what they've done to food. And so when we're looking at fruit in season, even here, we're not going to have bananas growing for very long because they only come, that then they're gone. But we've got everything with its food miles going all over the shop, and so we can eat whatever it is. Like in New Zealand, I came from, we had oranges only when the ship came in from South America. Because until then, there was no, you know, like, they're not going to be grown there. They are now, but again, that's in the middle of summer up in Kerikeri. This is not happening all through the year. So fruit was something that was a special treat, and you gorged on it, you know, like you've got a peach tree and you're eating all those peaches and you've got diarrhea. And unless you're going to be conserving it somehow with sugar generally for the winter months, it's gone, yes. So you might be making jams, you might be making relishes, you might be preserving it somehow or other, you might be freezing it if you've got a big freezer, but it's not going to be around for very long. However, these days we've got anything anytime we like it, and we get distressed when it's not there because we're used to it. So the fruit's got a few problems, one of which it's been genetically modified for the sugar content because sugar is a taste enhancer. And fruit is not necessary in a diet, even though others would argue. But when you look at the word fruit, look, an avocado is a fruit, a pumpkin's a fruit, a capsicum and a tomato are a fruit. Anything with seeds is a fruit. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
And if you want to get into it, so is a nut. It's a fruit of the apple-like thing that the cashew nut is at the bottom of. So what we're looking at is balance. And when we've got balance is one thing. And when we've got imbalance, we're wanting to go to that thing. So when we've got our spleen energy out of balance, our pancreas out of balance, we're going to want sweet, 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 to the exclusion of everything else. Now, bitter is usually the answer, which of course is green, because if we're going to look at colours, we're going to have colours in here too. And green is the dark green leafy vegetables. Well, hello, people don't like them, they're bitter. That's right, and that's where your magnesium's coming from.
Mm.
So generally speaking, if something's white or beige, get rid of it. It's a big generalisation, because it's going to be belonging to the earth element, and that's going to be sweet. Like, there's all your grains. So that's it, really. Food for thought. Balance.